Let God transform your life as you listen to this inspiring sermon by Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
Olesya Sosbitsina was so excited. She'd been on lockdown for the last few weeks due to the coronavirus. The government had ordered everyone to stay at home and stay indoors. And it had been so hard for Olesya. She loved the outdoors. She loved to go hiking in nature. Being stuck inside all day for weeks felt like being in prison. So as soon as the lockdown order was lifted, Olesya and her friend left home to go hiking in the hills in Dudin Park near her home in Turkey. She couldn't wait to escape the confines of her home. Olesya wanted to be free. She wanted to take pictures and post them on Facebook and Instagram. She wanted to show the world she had come back from quarantine. But in her excitement, Olesya failed to take proper precautions. She was so anxious to get out of her quarantine that she didn't consider the consequences of her choices. And as Olesya posed for a picture on the slopes of a cliff overlooking a river, she slipped on the grass and fell. Olesya Sosbitsina fell 35 meters to the water below. She died instantly. Her comeback turned to catastrophe because she didn't consider the consequences of her careless choices. There's an important lesson for all of us in the tragic but true story of Olesya Sosbitsina. How you come back from a crisis is vital. In fact, it can be a matter of life and death. If you're not prepared to come back from a crisis, you can make mistakes that will cost you your recovery. If you don't respond correctly to the challenges of a crisis, it can cut short your comeback and derail your destiny. That's the message in our sermon today. We're going to look at one of the most remarkable comeback stories in the Bible, the story of Joseph. Joseph endured not one, but four separate crises. But by God's grace, he was able to make the right response to his crises and come back from them all. In fact, Joseph achieved his divine destiny as he went from the pit to the palace. But before we learn more about Joseph's comeback factor, let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are the God of the comeback who can bring us back from every setback. But today I pray that you will teach us by your divine wisdom, through your word, by your spirit. Help us to understand the right response that will ensure our comeback is a genuine one and doesn't turn into catastrophe. I ask you to teach us the principles and precepts we need today to come back from any crisis so that we can achieve our destiny in you. I thank you and praise you right now as I submit to you. I bind every voice of the enemy that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts and minds and to give us the grace to come back today in Jesus' name. We thank you by faith, and everybody said, amen. I want to invite you to take a moment, join your faith with mine, put your hands on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, thank you so much for joining in today. It's a blessing to have you with me. I believe that your destiny is being boosted as we learn the truth of God's word together. The fact is, we need God's word now more than ever. During this challenging season, we need the truth to guide us so that we don't make a bad situation worse. See, the problem today is not just the pandemic and the resulting problems that have been brought to the world. The challenge is also in how we respond. We didn't choose the pandemic, but the good news is we can choose our response. And our response can make the difference between a comeback or a collapse. Our response will determine whether this is a test that brings about a testimony or a trial that brings about tragedy. There's no doubt we've all faced crises in this season, but the question now is, how do I come back from a crisis? What's the right response for me to come back from the current coronavirus crisis? And that brings us to today's comeback factor. We're going to hear from Joseph and discover how he went from the pit to the palace. Joseph's story is one of the most amazing stories of comeback in the Bible. After all, Joseph went from the lowest depths to the highest heights. And at first glance, it might seem like this happened overnight. But on closer examination, we'll see that the road to his comeback was actually a very long road. It took years for God to build in him the ingredients that would eventually lift him to the heights. And not only did his comeback take a long time, Joseph also actually experienced four crises in his journey to his destiny at the top. He didn't just have one to overcome. He had four major crises. He was sold as a slave twice. He was falsely accused and thrown in prison. And he was betrayed by someone he'd helped. And as we study his life, I believe we can learn the comeback factor that will help you come back from any crisis you face. Our story is found in the book of Genesis, chapters 37 and 39 to 41. Here we find the story of Joseph. It's too long to read all of it today, so I'm going to give you the Agape House abridged version in 60 seconds. Are you ready? Here we go. Joseph was the beloved son of his father. He had dreams of greatness, for God had a destiny for his life. But because of his destiny, he was hated by his brothers. They threw him into a pit and sold him as a slave. His owners took him to Egypt and sold him a second time as a slave. He was bought by a man named Potiphar to serve in his home. Joseph proved faithful and was promoted to the highest rank in the house. But then Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph. Joseph resisted, and so she lied and said he tried to rape her. Joseph was thrown into prison. He went from privilege to the pit to the prison. But God was not finished with him. In the prison, God was with him. Joseph worked hard and became a trusted assistant to the prison warden. Finally, God gave Joseph a great promotion. The king of Egypt had a dream. Joseph interpreted the dream and was made prime minister of the whole land. Later, his brothers came and he was reconciled to them. He forgave them and helped them out. And God used Joseph to save the world. And that's the abridged version of Joseph's story in 60 seconds. So what can we all learn from Joseph? How can we follow his example and come back from a crisis? Well, today I'm going to give you the three right responses to come back from a crisis. And here's your first response, the right choices. Your first right response to a crisis is to make the right choices. This is the first lesson we learned from Joseph. Listen to what the Bible tells us in Genesis 39, 1 to 3. When Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did. Somebody say he did. As he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. Somebody say, he did. And understand today that Joseph's comeback story begins with a crisis. He was sold as a slave by his brothers, taken to Egypt, and sold again as a slave to a man named Potiphar. And he was put into Potiphar's house to work and serve. And Joseph faces his first choice. How do I respond to this crisis? Do I choose to allow the crisis to dictate my actions, or do I choose my actions based on my convictions? And listen to what the Bible tells us. Joseph responded as if God was with him when it looked like God had abandoned him. He chose to do things that brought the blessing of God. Consider just how difficult this choice must have been for Joseph. If anybody could feel as if he'd been abandoned by God, it was Joseph. He was betrayed by his brothers. His own flesh and blood sold him into slavery. He was taken to a foreign land and sold again. And the fact is, Joseph knew that nobody was looking for him. He knew nobody was looking out for him. Yet instead of getting angry and bitter, he maintained his conviction that God was with him. That's the only thing that kept him going. He wasn't expecting anyone to come for him. He wasn't expecting anyone to rescue him. He wasn't expecting any human to help him, but he responded as if God was with him. In other words, he didn't allow the crisis to dictate his choices. He chose actions based on his convictions. And no matter what circumstances looked like, Joseph had the conviction that God was with him. He was convinced of God's favor and God's plan for his life. So he chose to respond to his conviction rather than react to his circumstances. And the reason everything worked out for Joseph is because Joseph did everything he could. See, friends, there's a big difference between reacting and responding. Reacting is born out of emotion. When a crisis hits and we react, we're making choices based on emotion, fear, anger, and hurt. And when we react, we actually reflect the harm done to us, just like a mirror reflects your image. Reacting imitates the thing we despise. When we react, we return fire for fire. He hated me, so I will hate him back. She got angry at me, so I will match her anger and even increase it. Those people harmed my people, so I will make sure we harm them in return. But in the end, when we react, we become like the people we hate. When we react, we create the circumstances we despise. That's the lesson we can learn from the tragic story of a woman in the USA named Nancy Acosta. Nancy Acosta was a married woman and mother of two children living in Houston, Texas, USA. One day she began to suspect her husband of cheating on her with another woman. He was rarely home. Sometimes he would just stop into the house, get his clothes, and then take off again. So one day, Nancy decided to follow her husband. When he drove off, she got into her car and followed him. And sure enough, she caught him picking up his mistress and driving with her into town. Nancy was so furious, she reacted out of anger. She started chasing her husband down the road in her car. When she caught up to him, she started ramming her car into his. As the angry couple raced down the motorway, Nancy was smashing her husband's car while he tried to dodge and avoid her. She was going to get even with him. She was going to punish him. But suddenly, Nancy lost control of her car. She left her lane and sped off into the other side of the road, right into the oncoming traffic. Within seconds, she was hit head-on by another driver. Nancy Acosta died on the spot. She reacted out of emotion and ended up dead. Nancy's rival now sleeps in Nancy's bed, lives in Nancy's house, and controls Nancy's two children. Sadly, reacting is the natural way the vast majority of people in the world behave in a crisis. And sadly, reacting makes the crisis worse. But responding is different than reacting. Responding comes from a conviction that God is in control and every choice I make must reflect my faith in Him. Responding is the supernatural result of wisdom. It's the way you behave when you believe in God and His plan for your life. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. The right choices come from a response to our convictions, not a reaction to your crisis. That's what we see in the life of Joseph. At the end, when he was delivered from slavery and elevated to the palace, he makes this remarkable statement to his brothers in Genesis 50, verse 20. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." And Joseph proves his faith was in God by declaring that God had the ultimate power to control his life narrative. Joseph shows his conviction in the goodness and power of God. And all his responses, all his choices in life were based on this unshakable faith in the foundation that God was with him. He built his life on the belief that God had a destiny for him, and he responded with the right choices based on that faith. So here's what you need to remember today. Responding reflects God's redemptive power. Responding changes the narrative. And God's intentions became reality for Joseph because he had the right response. His response triggered God's redemption. And that's what will happen to you. Respond with the right choices and you'll experience the right comeback. Right now, if you will respond with the right choices, God will work it out for your good. If you will make the right choices in your marriage, in your career, in your home, based on faith that God is with you and that he has a destiny for you, then you are on the road to a comeback from the crisis. You will come back better and you will come back stronger. So here's the truth you need to put on your keychain and carry along with you. Your response reveals your faith. A better response leads to a better comeback. That's what we can learn from the Apostle Paul. Late in his life, the Apostle Paul was put in prison for preaching the gospel. But even though he was in prison, Paul recognized the rule of God over his life. In prison, he chose to respond with faith in God. Paul responded out of a belief that God would work out his will for his life. Listen to his words in Philippians 1, 12 to 14. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me, think about that, everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I'm in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. Paul understood that his circumstances did not dictate his impact. He knew that God was in control over his life as long as he chose to believe in him and yield to his plan. And so Paul responded in faith to his imprisonment. Listen to what he said in verse 18. So I rejoice and I will continue to rejoice. He made the choice to believe in his destiny, not his dilemma. He acted on his convictions, not his circumstances. And because he made the right choice, he was able to rejoice. There was a purpose in the prison for Paul. It wasn't a pleasant season. It wasn't a time that was easy to endure, but it was a time of great effectiveness. Paul wrote several books of the New Testament from prison, and we are here today reaping the benefits of Paul's response to a crisis. We've received the word of God because Paul didn't react, he responded. So let me ask you a few questions today. Are you reacting to the current crisis or responding to it? Is your behavior born out of emotion, or does it come from deliberate decisions based on your belief in God and his plan for your life? For if you make the right choice, you'll respond to this season with faith. If you make the right choice, you'll respond to this season by saying, I'm growing fruit. I'm strengthening my roots as I go down deeper in God. I'm allowing this crisis to create change in me so that I'm ready for my comeback. I'm proving faithful. And when you do that, you'll make the second right response to come back from a crisis. The right consistency. See, in order to come back from a crisis, you need consistency. You need to be faithful to God even in the tough times. This is what happened to Joseph. He had the right response when he was sold as a slave. He did everything he could to serve well, even though his situation was terrible. But then Joseph faces another setback. The wife of his master tries to seduce Joseph and tempts him to come and sleep with her. And Joseph refuses to commit sin. Even under pressure, he won't give in. He remains consistent in his commitment to God. Listen to how his story continues in Genesis 39, verses 8 and 9. But Joseph refused. Look, he told her, how could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. So his master's wife makes a false accusation against Joseph and tells her husband that Joseph tried to rape her. The master is so furious, he throws Joseph in prison. Verses 19 and 20 say Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. His consistency in his commitment to God ends up being tested. And when he does the right thing, rather than moving forward, Joseph seems to be going backward. But in that fact, there's a lesson for all of us. Your comeback from a crisis doesn't come automatically. It doesn't come easily. You have to pass the test over a period of time. You have to pass through a season of preparation. That's why I can say with great confidence, no matter what condition you're in today, God can use it to prepare you for his plan. No matter what situation you're in right now, in your job, in your finances, in your marriage, in your family, in your body, in your career, in your studies, no matter how difficult it is, it can prepare you for your future. That's what the Bible tells us in James 1, verses 3 to 4 and verse 12. Listen carefully. When your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And hear what God is telling you today. The trials of this life actually help build your faith. The difficulties we pass through actually help build endurance so that we can reach our destiny. They promote consistency in us. And when we prove faithful through the tests, we will become perfect and complete. We won't need anything. We will receive the reward God has promised when we endure the trials and remain consistent in our faith. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. Your present condition is not a stumbling block to your destiny. It's a building block for your destiny. The truth is, God gives us tests to see if we will obey and be faithful. He's trying to teach us endurance so that we can become mature. And if you want to come back from a crisis, you have to be consistent through the trials. The fact is, you have a great destiny. One day, you will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. You're destined for the throne. You can't do what others do because they're not going where you're going. You may think, well, nobody else is doing it with excellence. Nobody else is on time. Nobody else is faithful. Nobody else is working as hard as me. But nobody else is going where you're going. You may think at work, everybody else in my office has a girlfriend. Everybody else pads his expense account. Everybody else leaves work for personal business. Everybody else lets their car papers expire. Everybody else drives without a license. And that may be true, but not everybody else is destined for what you are destined for. You're a person of destiny. You're headed to higher heights. And even the small tests are important. For the fact is, you have to pass the small tests to get to the big blessings. Don't confuse small with insignificance. It may be a small test, but if you don't pass the small test, you won't step into your destiny. Every time you obey, blessings will follow. That's the lesson we can learn from the inspiring true story of Evonie Williams. Evonie is a young lady working as a server at the Waffle House restaurant in her hometown of Lamarck, Texas, USA. She took the job so that she could try to save up money to pay to further her education. It's a demanding job, serving customers their food, clearing the tables, running to the kitchen. Now, if we're honest today, most of us would not consider the job of serving at a restaurant something very significant. We might be tempted to see it as just a job. We would do what we had to do, but not much more. But Evonie has learned not to confuse small with insignificant. She brings her best to the job every day and serves her customers the best she can. So one day on the job, when an elderly customer asked for her assistance, she agreed. Adrian Charpentier had just been released from the hospital, and in his aged and frail condition, he was unable to cut the meat on his plate. He asked Devoni to help him, and even though the restaurant was crowded and she had a lot of other work to do, Devoni stopped to help him. She took her time to cut Adrian's meat and chatted with him as she did. What she didn't know was that her small act of kindness would have a significant impact. Another customer snapped a picture of Devoni cutting the old man's meat. The picture was posted on Facebook and soon drew the attention of others. And Devoni's small act of kindness caught the attention of a man named Austin Lane. Lane is the president of the Texas Southern University near where Devoni works. We wanted to reward Devoni's act of kindness and let her know that good deeds do not go unnoticed, a spokesman for the school said. And so Lane awarded Devoni with a scholarship to Texas Southern University in the amount of $16,000. Don't confuse small with insignificant. No matter how small the task God gives you, do it as unto the Lord. If it's for God, it is never insignificant. And your act of obedience will cause God to release favor to you. You may be waiting on God, but God is waiting on you. Do the small thing. Pass the small test. Obey the Lord. Whether people are watching or not, God sees and he will reward you. See, if you want to come back from a crisis, you have to realize that every decision is a destiny decision. Everyday decisions may not look important, but everyday decisions form the stepping stones to your destiny. If you skip the stepping stones of everyday decisions, you will end up with a chasm to your destiny. Instead of stepping into your destiny, you'll be forced to leap to the next level. And the more everyday decisions you ignore, the greater the leap that is required to take you higher. If you skip too many everyday decisions, you may eventually find that the gap in your path is too great to overcome. I want to speak to someone today who's begun to doubt his or her destiny. You've grown weary of waiting. You feel as if God's vision for your life will never come to pass. Your dreams seem locked up in obscurity, and it feels as if the devil has thrown away the key. You're not going anywhere. You're not making any progress, and you don't see any light at the end of your tunnel. But may I remind you today that Jesus Christ himself faced 18 years of obscurity. For 18 years, he was anonymous, tucked away in a little dusty carpenter shop in Nazareth, living an ordinary life. No miracles, no power encounters, no recognition of his true identity, no applause, no success, no crowds, just the silent waiting for a destiny on hold. Perhaps the hardest thing of all was that Jesus knew he had a destiny. He had a vision and a passion and a sense of purpose. From the time he burst onto the scene in Jerusalem at the age of 12, a child prodigy that sent shockwaves through the temple, Jesus had a sense of destiny. He said to his parents, "I must be about my Father's business." And for a brief moment, the curtain opened. The glory was displayed, and the destiny was unfurled. Then just as quickly, it all went silent. The curtain was closed, the platform from ministry was pulled away, and the boy who confounded rulers had to go home and sweep floors. But in those 18 years of silence, God was working. He was preparing his son for a divine mission. He was training him and equipping him and investing in him so that at the appointed time, he could burst forth and accomplish God's plan. And Jesus did more with 18 years of waiting and 3 years of work than any man has ever done with his whole life. The Bible tells us that Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Hebrews 5:8 says he learned obedience from the things he suffered. And that suffering wasn't just what he endured on the cross. It was the suffering of anonymity, the suffering of obscurity, the suffering that comes from the deferment of destiny. That's what happened to Joseph. He still had his dream burning in his heart. He still remembered the vision God had given to him that he would rule over his family. Yet here he was, first an obscure slave in a foreign land and then an obscure prisoner in a foreign prison. But in all his trials, Joseph was consistent. In all his tests, he was faithful. And that's God's message to you today. Don't jump out of your obscurity too soon. Don't push your way forward. Allow God to bring you to the place of destiny in His time and in His way. Be patient in the waiting. Be consistent in the face of obscurity. Persevere through anonymity. For God can do more with you in one moment of His glory than in a lifetime of your self-effort. And the fact is, God has given you what you need right now to succeed so that you can fulfill your destiny. You already have enough in God to make it now so that you can make it in the world to come. He's already raised you up in the spiritual realms. And one day, the fullness of His plan for your life will be manifested to the world. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 6 and 7, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus." In other words, what God has done in your life so far is simply getting you ready for what He has for you in the future. See, here's the truth most people don't understand when it comes to fulfilling their destiny. The way God prepares us for our future role as rulers in the throne is through the daily duties of this life. God's preparation ground is here in this life as we face obstacles and difficulties and crises and we learn to overcome them. For destiny often comes disguised as daily duty. That's how David reached his destiny. David didn't happen to fight Goliath because he was a warrior or a great soldier. He wasn't even in the army. David was a young shepherd boy tending his sheep near Bethlehem. And David didn't fight Goliath because he answered the king's calls to arm. He didn't even have a sword or a shield. But David reached his destiny by being diligent in his daily duty. David was watching his flocks when his father Jesse called to him, "Come, take these loaves of bread to your older brothers who are soldiers at the battlefield." So David got up and obeyed his father and carried bread to his older brothers. When he got to the battlefield to deliver the bread to his brothers, he heard Goliath taunting the soldiers of Israel. And David met his destiny by doing his daily duty. A lot of people today have great vision for their lives. If you ask a lot of young men and young women, they dream of doing great things. "I've got a great destiny," they say. "I'm going to do great things for God." But hear me today. You'll never do the great things till you learn to do the little things well. That's why Jesus said in Luke 16:10, "If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones." God is looking for faithful people. He knows if you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. And that's why His promise of reward comes to the faithful. In order to come back from crisis, you have to be consistent. You have to be faithful. To go from the pit to the palace, you have to prove faithful. For the truth is, reward often comes wrapped in responsibility. Obedience in every step will lead to achieving your destiny. If you'll just keep obeying, just keep following, just keep in step with Jesus in the day to day, you'll reap a mighty reward. And that brings us to our third right response to come back from a crisis, the right character. Here's the amazing thing about Joseph. All through his time of testing, he makes the right choices based on his convictions. He's consistent to do what he can where he is, even when it seems that his faithfulness is not bearing any fruit. And not only that, Joseph had the right character. Everywhere he goes, in every situation, Joseph displays the character of a man called by God. Consider that He never grumbles or complains. He never lashes out at those who betray him. He never blames God or bemoans his fate. He keeps on choosing based on his convictions. He consistently does his best in every situation. He lives with integrity, and his character attracts the favor of God. Listen to Genesis 39, verse 6. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing. Then again, in Genesis 39, 23, we see the same thing playing out in the prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. You see, it wasn't Joseph's circumstances that brought him promotion. He wasn't in the right place at the right time. In fact, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Everything that he faced could have hindered him. He was betrayed by his family. He was betrayed by the people he worked for. He was betrayed by the people he helped. He was persecuted, forgotten, sold as a slave, and left in prison. Yet everywhere he went, he was promoted. Joseph didn't wait for the right circumstances. He created the right circumstances through his character and faithfulness. He didn't rely on his connections. He got connected because he attracted attention for the good work he did. He didn't even rely on his dream or his divine calling. He didn't sit around waiting for God to do something for him. He aligned himself with God's dream for his life through his action and his attitude. And this is where so many of us are making a mistake today. We think that what we need for our comeback is favor. We think that favor will bring us connections and favor will bring us promotions. We're looking to God for favor, but God is looking to us for faithfulness. If favor alone could bring success, then the prodigal son would have been successful. He had his father's inheritance when he was young. He asked his father for success, and it was handed to him. But without the right character, the prodigal son went astray. He wasn't ready for the responsibility, so he squandered the favor given to him. And Joseph had favor. He was his father's favorite. He was favored by God. But God wanted to make sure that Joseph didn't rely on favor to fulfill his destiny. God wanted to make sure Joseph knew that favor can open doors for you, but only character will keep you where you go. Many of us want promotion only through favor. We think it's who we know that will help us. We run to this person and that person looking for an inside edge. But success doesn't come from favor alone. All the favor in the world can't build character. All the favor in the world can't bring into your life training, education, discipline, and diligence. These are the stepping stones to promotion. We've got to get serious today and ask ourselves the tough questions. Are we ready for a higher level? Are you ready for promotion? See, promotion requires preparation. It requires character, and that is only formed with time. That's what we learn from a story in Mark chapter 10. The Bible tells us that two disciples of Jesus came to him seeking a promotion. James and John came to Jesus and said, "Lord, when you're in glory, let us sit one on your right and one on your left. Let us be exalted." But listen to Mark 10:38. But Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with?" In other words, this is how Jesus replied to them. Are you able to bear it? Are you ready for this promotion? Are you prepared? You see, it's one thing to be promoted. It's another to succeed in the promotion. If you're not ready for that step, it can lead to disaster. But when you possess character, the favor of God will rest upon you. When you respond to crisis with character, God will open doors for you. That's why Proverbs 22:29 says, "Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men." The fact is, God doesn't bless lack of effort. God doesn't bless lack of faithfulness. God doesn't bless lack of integrity. But when you respond to crisis with character, you're on your way to come back. If you'll pay the price and let God work in you, He will bring you back. He will lift you up. He will take you from the pit to the palace. For every destiny comes with a price. And the greater the destiny, the greater the price. You can pay a great price and have a great preparation and make a great impact, or you can pay a little and make a ripple. The choice is up to you. Joseph had a great destiny, so he had to pay a great price. He spent a great time in preparation so that he could be prepared for the great throne that awaited him. And the price you pay for your destiny to be fulfilled is in your preparation. In the time of crisis, you have to make the right choices. In the face of difficult circumstances, stay consistent. In these challenging times, possess the right character. Don't derail your destiny by doing the wrong thing. Keep your comeback on track by staying true to God. That's God's message to us in Ephesians 4:1. Therefore, I beg you, lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Perhaps this current coronavirus crisis caught you off guard. Maybe it hit you unexpectedly and you've been thrown off balance. But if you were unprepared this time, start preparing now for next time. Prepare yourself to respond to the next crisis. This is a chapter, not the whole book. This is not the end. But how you respond to this chapter will determine how your story ends. For the fact is, you can come back from any setback when you choose the right response. Shall we pray? Father, I ask you to work in our hearts right now. Speak to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, to everyone who's discouraged, to everyone who feels like giving up, to everyone who says the obscurity, the anonymity is too much, for everyone who says the delay is too long, for everyone struggling with the time of preparation right now. Help us to grasp the truth that will help us come back from this crisis. I pray that you'll work in our hearts. Let us respond based on our convictions. Let us remain consistent in the face of difficulties. Let us possess and build a character that will take us to the next level and fulfill our destiny. I thank you by faith now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. The hope of
nations. God bless you for listening to this message. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is the senior pastor of Agape House New Testament Church in East Lagos. If you are ever in Accra, we would like you to worship with us on Saturday night at 6 p.m. or on Sunday at 7:30, 9:30 or 11:30 a.m. You will have an awesome experience.